we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Friday the 13th in Merritt Island, Florida, or Cocoa, Florida, here in the radio station, but you're listening to WMIE 91.5. And let me just tell you something right now. If the world has tried to horrify you into not getting out of bed because of all the horrible things that happened on Friday the 13th, I want you to know you don't have to believe that. You've got a different declaration over you, and that is, this is the day that the Lord has made. Rejoice. Be glad in it. Seize the opportunity that you have today to praise and glorify His name. Do not let the world intimidate you through fear and paralyze you from doing anything. Today is a great, great day. It's also my birthday. So happy birthday to me. It's just not the same if you sing happy birthday to yourself. But anyway, I pray that you have a great day. I know that I'm going to. Hopefully there will be hitting a golf ball involved in there someplace, even if I just have to go out into my backyard, throw one down and slap it for a little while, depending on what the day holds. We're looking forward to a great day. We got a lot of exciting family events that take place in the month of May, and so some of those will be coming up any time now. My folks will be down and get to see them for the third time in just a few months. Saw them in February, saw them in March, and then see them again in May. So that's a lot more frequently than we normally get to see them. And so it's very exciting. So let me ask you, have you made your plans for the weekend yet? Have you made plans of scheduling yourself in such a manner that you are going to get to worship the Lord? This coming Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. It's the day that we celebrate the outpouring of God the Holy Spirit to empower us to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and under the uttermost parts of the earth. He wants you and I empowered. And so I pray that you will, if you do not have a church home, that you'll come and check out Merritt Assembly of God if you're here in the central part of the county. A friend of mine, a person that I know, it's probably better to describe him as a friend that I know, he started pastoring a church probably 10 years or so ago. And he said, I've got people that are traveling. Now it's probably an hour and a half north of here. And he says, I've got people that are driving all the way up from Miami every week to attend church with us. And it's like, wow, that is quite a drive. But, I don't know how far. I do know that we've had people that came and attended church all the way from Palm Bay. But what we'd really like is for you to have a church that's relatively close to you there that preaches the Word of God, that will enable you to grow and be equipped for the works of the ministry that God has prepared for you to do before the foundation of the world. He fashioned you, He formed you for such a time as this. Now, if you're here in the central part of Brevard County, we would love to have you come and be a part of Merritt Assembly of God. We believe that we have a wonderful church. We are a smaller church, about 50 to 60 people on most Sundays, sometimes less, sometimes more. But I will tell you, we've got, I believe, 10 people this year that are going to be going on missions trips. We are very excited about that. I would dare say that there's probably not very many churches in the country where 20% of their church will go on a missions trip in 1 year. We're pretty excited about that. So We're about restoring value spiritually. We want people to get saved. We want people to know Jesus. We want them to know that he wants them to have hope in a future, that he is working for them and not against them. We want you to know about the goodness and the greatness of God. We want you to know his word. We want you to live his word. And we're looking to see relationships restored, relationships with the Father, relationships at home, between husband and wife, between generations, between parents and kids and grandkids. We are looking to see things transformed in a glorious manner. I love to watch the news, and I've seen a lot of this sort of stuff of late, where they find these very historic automobiles hidden in these barns. Now, I don't have a barn. My dad has a few barns, but I've been in those barns. I know this. There are no historic automobiles in his barns. They're just not there. There's a lot of stuff in those barns, but there's nothing that has that tremendous financial capabilities, generational altering financial capabilities the way that some people have. And then people come and they restore them to pristine condition. I want you to know that that's what God does for people. He says, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And if you study that, it literally means a new species of being that has never existed before. Do you know that we, the redeemed of the Lord, we can sing of amazing grace and the forgiveness of God? And the angels, they only know theoretically about the forgiveness, because they never sinned. The angels in God's presence have never grieved his heart. And so I wish that was my testimony. It's not yours either. I don't even know you, and I do know that that's not your testimony. But if I can't have a testimony of never having broken the heart of God, at least I can have a testimony that says, I have received the forgiveness and the grace of God, and I am so grateful for it. That's what we're talking about in Isaiah chapter 6. And so I want to take you back there, Isaiah chapter 6. Let me recap a little bit from yesterday, verse number 6. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. And then he said, go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return and be healed. Then I said, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities are laid waste, and without inhabitant, the houses are without a man, the land is utterly desolate, the Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land, but yet a tenth will be in it, and will return and be for consuming, as a terebinth tree, or as an oak whose stump remains when it is cut down, so the holy seed shall be its stump. And so the verse that we ended with yesterday, your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. Some of you, I've got a great word to begin with today, and that is, if you have prayed and asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life and empower you to live in victory, not in the confines of Satan's traps and snares, I've got good news for you. You're forgiven. Stop beating yourself up over things that God has already forgiven and cleansed and wiped away. God is not one of those things that holds a grudge over you. When you ask him to forgive it, he forgave it. He purged it. He took it away. It's not there anymore. It is eliminated, not to be brought up again. The only person who brings up your past sins is the devil. And so when you and I hold a grudge, we are doing the devil's bidding, not God's bidding. I remember seeing a skit years and years ago of a husband and wife that kept an ongoing scorecard. Well, this is what you did, so you are indebted to me now. And then the person said, well, I did that, but you did this and this and this. And they spent their entire relationship trying to figure out which one of them was inferior or indebted to the other person. God's not doing that. Now, oftentimes I quote John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But there is another verse that goes along after that, and that's verse number 17. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It goes on and it says that he who does, let me just read it to you here so that I don't get it wrong. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, and that they have been done in God. So Isaiah had his sin exposed, and when he began to cry out, God forgave him his sin. That's why God brings revelation. That's why it is so important for us to speak the truth in love, especially in this day and time where people refuse to believe in Jesus, even though he is the only way to eliminate condemnation from their lives. They would rather be condemned than believe in Jesus, and it's because they loved darkness rather than light, because the things that they do are evil. Now, you're not interested in my definition of evil. Quite frankly, I'm not interested in your definition of evil. I am very interested in God's definition of evil, because he's the expert on what is holy, on what is righteous, and what is evil, and what is wrong. And so it's very, very important. Again, the importance of Isaiah chapter 6 is that Isaiah's sin got dealt with, and thus he was positioned in such a manner of holiness that he could be used to deal with the sinfulness of the society which he also beheld. Okay? So anybody who tells you that they have had an encounter with God and they saw the importance of dealing with their sin, but is not motivated to be a witness for Jesus Christ, still only has partial revelation. Isaiah had such insight from God that all of a sudden he heard things coming from God that he had never heard before. This is what he heard in verse number 8. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? When you and I allow him to remove the sin from our life, it is going to open up our hearing, our spiritual senses, to hear what is on the heart of God. What does God want? He wants men everywhere to be saved. He wants women to be saved. He wants boys and girls to be saved. He wants people in America and around the world to be saved. He wants Jewish people to be saved. He wants people in Muslim countries to be saved. He wants them to know the reality of Jesus Christ. He wants people in China. He wants people in the Northern Hemisphere, the Southern, people everywhere to be able to call upon the name of the Lord. And so all of a sudden, Isaiah once his sin is dealt with, he hears God saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Whom shall I send and whom will go for us? I truly believe that there are no accidents with God. I believe that when you are walking with him, that your life should be strategically placed by God the same way that a piece on a chessboard is placed strategically by a chess master, to where you make the biggest impact in the goal and the purpose that God has for you. Whom shall I send? Now, quite frankly, God, when he dispatched a word, he said, "Let there be light," and bam, there was light. He created everything there is around us. He could speak the word and it would happen. Psalm 107:20 says he sends forth his word and healed them of their diseases. And so all he's got to do is speak the word. But this time he says, "Whom shall I send?" Do you realize that God could compel us to be witnesses? He could force us. It's like, "No, you are going to do this. I am God. I am King of Kings and Lord of Lords." But he's not looking for messengers by compulsion. He's looking for ministers and messengers by choice. Will you testify of what you've seen? Will you speak of the things that you've heard? Will you testify about the comfort that you have received so that others can be comforted with that same comfort as well? Whom shall I send and who will go for us? You know, there are actions and then there are motives behind those actions. There are a lot of people who do things and they are not for God. If you turn over to the book of Philippians, you're going to find that Paul is actually in jail at that point in time. Let me turn over there. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. And it says in verse number 12, of chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1, verse number 12, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Listen to verse 15. "Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." What Paul was saying there is that he had come to the place that he wasn't going for his own benefit. He was going for God's benefit. And he found himself in chains, but everybody around knew that he was in chains, not because of some evil that he had done, but because he was in chains because of Jesus Christ. He goes on and he says, "And there are a lot of other speakers who have been motivated by this, and some have begun to speak out about Jesus Christ in a holy boldness." They're going out because they want to make an impact on people's eternities. And he said, "And then there are other people, and they're not in it for God. They are just trying to make Paul's life more miserable." if I can, I want to shatter an illusion for some people, and that is this. There are some people that think that that being a pastor is all about the glamour and the glory of, you know, preaching on Sunday morning and standing up and having people tell you how wonderful you are. But you need to understand that there are a lot of people who tell you how horrible you are. And so I'm not a pastor today because I didn't have anything else I could have done. I was very good in math. I could have done something in the field of mathematics. If nothing else, I could have been a teacher. I've been a teacher before. I could have done something in sales. I could have been in management. I could have done other things. That's not why. But every place that I was, I said, God, I can do this. I can use this open door to support my family. But God, you've called me to be a minister, and I can't get away from that. Even when people said that I was worthless and would never make it in the ministry, there was something inside of me that said, that's not what God declared over my life. And so with that being said, you've got to realize that if you're going into the ministry, only go if it's for God. Don't go there if it's just because it's the family business and that's all you've ever known. Merit Assembly of God is not the Arthur's Family Enterprises. It's not. We actually intentionally look for people to get involved outside of our sphere of familial influence there. Now, I want all of my family involved in ministry, but if they're not involved in ministry at Merit Assembly, they're going to be involved in ministry someplace because they know that they were given this life, they were redeemed for a purpose, and that purpose was to serve Jesus. So when I was younger than 9 years old, I knew that I was going to go for God. Who will go for us? And I had already said, God, here I am. I will go for you. Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people. Okay. Pentecost Sunday is this Sunday. And no matter what your experiences with Pentecostals have been, whether it was Pentecostal holiness, I've encountered a lot of people, and one of my favorite scenarios of all time, this person I believe is now no longer in the county, it was a person that I had encountered, and it was a physical therapist, and had to deal with them for 3 months over an 8 month period of time. And on my very last day of physical therapy, this just goes back a number of years, she said, are you sure you're Pentecostal? And I said, oh, yes, ma'am, I'm very Pentecostal. And she said, but you seem so normal. And I'd had discussions with her before, and I had heard of some of the experiences that she had had with Pentecostals earlier in her life. And so she was actually quite apprehensive about, you know, me being Pentecostal. But I want you to know that we're not weird. We just believe that we want to live with all of the gifts that God has for us. With that being said, I want to say this about being Pentecostal. If you come Sunday morning, you will hear this. Being empowered and filled with the Holy Spirit of God is not so much about the merit badge. It's not about, we don't have merit badges, by the way, but some people think it's a merit badge type experience. I'm thankful for the manifestations. I'm thankful for the gift of discernment that God gives. I'm thankful that he gives me the ability to speak into people's lives when necessary. But here's what it's all about souls. Look in Acts chapter 2, and you will see that it's all about everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's about people being gripped with the convicting power of the Holy Spirit and crying out, "Brethren, what must we do to be saved?" If you have had an encounter with God and you feel no compulsion to share the good news of Jesus Christ with the people who are perishing and do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you haven't experienced the fullness of God the way that He wants us to. He wants us to come to the place that said, "God, if you're looking for volunteers, I'm here. If you're looking for somebody to go, send me. If you're looking for volunteers that will do it for you and not for their own sake, Lord, here I am." That's what God is looking for. You know, in the military, I've been told that there's an interesting way to volunteer, and that is you be the last one to take a step backwards, and it'll make it look like you are the one that took a step forward. God's not looking for those sorts of volunteers. A lot of people in churches have that same philosophy. God send them. God send that person. But whatever you do, don't send them. And for heaven's sake, please do not send my kids. When I was in Bible college, I had a professor, and she said that her home state had pretty much banned her from coming and preaching in their churches, because whenever she went, she challenged the young people in those churches to answer the call of God, to go wherever He would have them to go and do whatever they were called to do. And many of them were getting called to the missions field, and mamas didn't like it, and daddies didn't like it. And they went to pastors, and the pastors were saying, "I don't like having upset mamas and upset daddies." But let me tell you something. As a dad, my goal is for my children to say, "God, here I am. Send me wherever you want. Send me in my neighborhood. Send me in my county. Send them in their state. Send them internationally," because I want them to answer the call of God and be specifically and strategically placed for His glory because of this reason. The best place that they will ever be is right in the center of God's will. And if I try and hold them close and keep them close to me, and God's called them someplace else, what I have just done is set them up for misery, heartache, and failure. And I don't want to do that. You want to live a life of adventure? Say this: "God, cleanse me of my sin. If you're looking for volunteers to use in your kingdom for your glory, here am I. Send me." Father, I pray that as we go to this weekend, Lord, that there will be no shortage of laborers in your harvest field, but God, instead, you will find people all throughout Brevard County saying, "God, here am I. Send me." Have a great day. We'll see you Monday morning right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve it. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing. I say
me from those things that might distract me. Please take him away, purify my heart. I don't want to lose the eternal for the things that are passing. Cause what will I have when the world is gone if it isn't for the love that goes on and on? With my one thing, you're my one thing.